You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
When you pray, I will listen. If you look for me with all your heart, you will find me. When you pray, I will listen.
Good morning. We want to welcome you today to God's Got It. We're so glad that you're joining us. I am Rachel.
And I'm Alexa.
We hope that you'll be encouraged today and that you will walk away from this moment and say, wow, God's got it.
That's right. Our hope is that you walk away no matter what season of life you're in with your heart lifted and the knowing that God already has got it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God's got it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here we are. We have Miss Alexa, and we have Miss Toddie.
Hey there.
Hey. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Great to be here today. And God really does have it. Amen?
Amen.
He's got it. So today we're kind of talking about a subject that's a little hard to talk about sometimes. But first off, I want to say, you know, if anyone would like to sponsor the program, they could call WCNO at 772-221-1100, and you can speak to the manager, who's Jonathan McLean, my husband, and whom I love very much. just a little promo there. No, just a little promo for Jonathan and love. So anyway, but it's great to be here today, and we're going to be talking about rejection. Rejection is difficult. It is very, very difficult. And talking the other day with Alexa and Toddie, just yesterday, actually, the other day would be yesterday.
So, yes.
I remember that.
You remember that? The days go so quickly, right?
Yes.
Oh, my. So here we are Thursday again. So we were speaking about rejection and how it affects us. And a lot of times, most of the times, it could start at childhood.
Yes.
We were talking about that.
Yes.
And I looked it up and just randomly put in, how does rejection affect a child?
Mm.
And so this is what I got. A child's brain registers emotional pain just like physical injury. I thought, wow.
Yes.
It triggers stress hormones, fear, a sense of threat, which can impact their mental health, behavior, and relationships as they grow.
Right.
And that is so true, isn't it?
Because they carry it with them from the time that they're rejected as a child all the way through life. And then it gets worse.
And it gets worse.
Yeah, right. Because those seeds just keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the definition. It's the trap of human approval.
Ah,
yes. Even as a child, they want approval. They want you to say how great they are. They want you to tell them all the good things about them. But my mother used to say, if I don't say it, it means it's good.
Oh, she said if she didn't say it, it means it's good.
She said, if I don't tell you,
it's not good. I'll let you know.
I said, if it's bad, I'll tell you.
I never hear those things. Right. I only hear what I've done wrong.
Mm.
And then you grow up with that. Well, you expect people to tell you what you're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Because you know when that's going to happen. Well, you're setting yourself up for more rejection.
Yes.
Right? What you're saying there is
you're
setting yourself up and saying, okay, well, I've had so much rejection already that what's one more person?
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen.
And how can I be friends with anybody? Because they're going to do me the same way as everybody else has done me through life. So it causes division amongst friends, amongst acquaintances, amongst family, because you stay away from the family that rejects you.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes, too, you know, as children grow up and they feel in their rejection that they've had from family members in particularly, they will stay away and reject their parents eventually because they don't want to keep going through that hurt. They don't want to keep revisiting. Mm-hmm. Instead of delving in and saying, especially when you're becoming a Christian and you've accepted the Lord, and delving into how can I be healed? How can I get past? How can I walk in Christian love towards someone who is constantly rejecting me.
Right.
And I believe in some instances where we've had rejection that we've walked through with family, God has given me a love, and only God can do that.
Only
God can do that.
Right.
And I even told the one lady, I said, I don't care how many times you say whatever you say, it doesn't really matter. God has given me a love for you all, and I love you so much that it does. That's not going to affect my love. And you have to get to that point. And you say, how do I love someone who's constantly putting me down, who's constantly saying horrible things to me? How do you love? How do you do that?
One day at a time.
That's true. That is so true. Yeah. That is the only way you can.
Because how can you say what you're going to do tomorrow? Because you don't know what they're going to pull tomorrow.
No. Exactly.
So
there's a, you know, the love chapter, you know. Mm-hmm. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Mm-hmm. Never envious nor boils over. And it's a love chapter, but God identifies himself as love.
Right.
And then he says that the love of God, if we're Christians, has been shed abroad in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I just heard this quote that said, love is the debt that we'll go to the grave with to every man. That the love we owe everybody, the love of God. Mm-hmm. Not because they deserve it, but because he deserves it.
Right.
And he loves us so much. And I think that's a huge part of dealing with rejection, is knowing that we're loved. Mm-hmm. Because if we know that the Father loves us, then we aren't eye to eye with that rejection. Mm-hmm. The rejection wants to define us. It wants to tell us who we are. But in Christ, it doesn't get to.
Right.
It can't be the define. Even if we have to deal with symptoms, which is a little bit like, I believe God wants my body well.
Oh, yes.
So much so that if I get sick, I might go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? If I didn't believe he wanted me to well, then I wouldn't go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. But I believe he does. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with our minds. He wants our minds, our souls, to be free. He wants them to be healed. Mm-hmm. And it starts with knowing that he loves you and he wants you well.
Right.
And as just like the enemy did, he wanted to. He starts when he's young, when we're young. Mm-hmm. And Annabella, one of my daughters, I hope she's okay. She's really little, so she's okay. I remember we have five kids. And, well, we have six children. One's grown now. He was in the house at the time. And we had my mother-in-law lived with us and her brother. They were both elderly, and we were taking care of them. Mm-hmm. And Annabella, one day, I'm putting her down for a nap. She was probably all of 2 years old. Mm-hmm. She says to me, Mom, I said, yes. She got teardrops in her eyes. I feel so alone. Aww. And I thought, you physically are never alone. There are a ton of people in this home, and you have never been alone. But that's how ridiculous and gross the enemy is.
Yes.
He wants to start a narrative like that at 2 years old.
At 2 years old.
That is so false. Mm-hmm. It's not true.
Right.
And so then... So then he builds on that. That's what he endeavors to do if we don't recognize it as a rejection, ultimately from the enemy. He's the one that wants to create it. It's not about the person, right? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
However, if you hadn't have addressed it and talked to her about it, she could have just been thinking it and maybe said something, and you were too busy with five other kids to talk to her about being alone.
Right.
And not being alone. And that's where the rejection comes in.
Of course.
And that's where a lot of people will say, well, I go to church every Sunday and I feel like I don't belong. Mm-hmm. And see, that's a lie from the enemy.
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm. And oh, and we just had Jim here, and he says he came for the first time and no one spoke to him. And I just can't imagine what was the circumstances. But, you know, he was dealing with some stuff. So the enemy wanted him to feel rejection. Mm-hmm. And he said, I just sat there and I just felt all alone. And I was like, wow. And that's what the enemy does.
Yes.
He wants you to feel like with Annabelle, mm-hmm. I don't have you know, I'm in this big family and I'm just here all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lie
from, of course
the,
it's a lie.
From the enemy.
Uh-huh.
Right,
yes.
Because she wasn't there all by herself.
And then first
but,
she has Jesus.
Exactly.
So we get all that kind of,
you'll
never be alone.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we will never be alone.
No, that's right.
That
but that's
true.
And I can't, as a mom, no matter how good I am, catch them all.
No.
I won't be able to.
No.
No.
And so, and it's not even my responsibility.
No, it's not.
It's my responsibility to do my best and to love them with everything I have.
Right.
And I will fail.
Yes.
And I have to trust that God's enough, that his love is enough, that his way, because sometimes we can get really fixated on what the enemy is building.
Mm-hmm.
In rejection and forget, because that's what the enemy wants to do. Just so we've talked a lot about this, is we want to look back at that rejection and think that's the thing we ought to. But what has been sown into us from God from a real young age?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not let the only the negative portion be the thing that's real.
You know, something to think about when you're talking about young people and children. We talk to them about the Father. But the Father's a king.
He is a king.
And if you can talk to those children and say, you know, you don't just have a heavenly Father, you have a king.
Amen.
And that king adores you. He just idolizes the ground you walk on. When they have disappointments, maybe with a father later on, maybe their relationship isn't as great. When they think of Jesus and God the Father, they're going to think of him being as a king. And that king is so powerful. He has so much love, so much care for you. And he doesn't let his daughters or his sons feel second place.
Right.
They're first
right.
place.
Amen.
Right. They're a princess and they're a prince. And they're, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I know growing up when we got our oldest son at 10 months old, and when he was 3, we adopted our other son, and who ended up with special needs. And it was difficult. And he shared with us later on about how he felt like he wasn't seen. He had gone through a time. And, you know, he prayed. And God, he said God delivered him from all of that because he felt like there wasn't really a lot of time for him. But, and he had to walk through that and never one time told us. And we never made him, we didn't try to make him feel like he was second place.
Sure.
But God, it does have healing.
Amen.
And he does have a place for that. And you know, you look at the scriptures, and of all that Jesus did for us, he was rejected and despised by so many people. A lot of people.
His own family.
Well, his own family.
Yes.
They mocked him.
Yes.
You know, who do you think you are?
He came to his own, and they refused him.
Exactly.
Even his brothers, I mean.
Right, right. Yeah. Even his own family. And so in Isaiah 53:3, it says, he's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Sometimes I don't think people realize exactly what Jesus did. He was with his Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He had to come down here and leave all that.
And leave it all.
And leave all that. Yeah. I mean, if you were to go to heaven today and say, who here wants to go back to the earth? Who wants to go back?
Nobody.
Exactly. You think any of them would want to? And he had to be obedient to his Father and go through all that rejection, go through the stripes, for by his stripes we are healed. He had to go through all of that so we could have what we have.
Amen.
And, you know, if you really stop and think about it, he went through absolutely the worst rejection that could ever be.
Yeah.
And knowing that he was going, and he already knew all of these things that he was going to have to walk through, but his daily walk and teaching people and just a constant rejection. 1 Peter 2:4 says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by man, but chosen by God. And he was precious in God's sight. He was God's son. And here he came. And thank God. Thank God he went through that, right?
Yes.
Because, hey.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have known how we feel.
Exactly.
But he took it all so that we can feel comforted through what he went through.
Yes. Knowing that he does understand.
Yeah.
And everything we walk through, he understands. And he knows, and he can sympathize with us, and he can feel our pain and know what we're going through.
I like that scripture. He was rejected by people and chosen by God. Mm-hmm. And how it's not God's choice over you, and his love for you is not hung on anybody else's perspective of you. Mm-hmm. Right? So it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters. God cares about what's been said about you.
And your hurt is real.
It is real, but not in it doesn't affect God's love for you.
No. No, exactly.
For me, at least, in those moments when I'm feeling like I can feel, you know, I've been in Jesus for a little while, and it's still, it can sting.
Yes.
It can sting.
It can.
And my mind, I'll put it in my own words, my mind can get to racing about how I feel because someone treated me in one way or another. And it's amazing how I can flip-flop from the moment where I'm going, I can't believe they would, to, oh my goodness, will anyone ever? And I can't believe I'm so terrible. And how fast my mind will flop from one place to the other when I'm in my, and not in the place where I'm remembering what he says about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I'm not remembering who I am.
Well, you fall into self-pity.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And, oh, look at the fact that I just
and
tell somebody.
Self-pity, pride, self-pity.
I need to tell somebody what they did, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And
it's in those minutes when you have to remember it's not about you.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's exactly
right. It's not about you.
Not about me.
That person could have had all kinds of days. Mm-hmm. A husband or a wife could be working all day long, come home and say something really snotty. Mm-hmm. But it didn't have a thing in the world to do with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was about what they went through. Mm-hmm. And if we could just learn to separate ourselves from those thoughts of rejection long enough to believe that this isn't my problem.
Right. And the enemy wants to keep us there.
Yes.
In the self-doubt, in the self-pity, in the, doom, gloom, you know, he wants to keep us there.
And I do think it breaks the Father's heart when there's a schism between the body.
Oh, there it does.
So for me, at least, I want to come to the place too, although it's not about me, I want to be willing to look at the fact that it could have been, at least in part, my fault. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask the question, God, did I misrepresent your love to create an opportunity for rejection? Now, how they acted, not my fault. Mm-mm. I can't control how anyone else acts.
Exactly.
But I have to check my heart. And I don't want to leave room for the enemy to not, you know, to keep me bound in a place where there's an opportunity for me to grow.
And a lot of times they want to project onto you, well, you caused me to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like you're in control of their thoughts in their mouth, right? Yeah. And a lot of times that's projected. Well, it's because of you that happened. And I think as a child, too, we're talking about children.
That's right.
And if you project that onto a child, you have damaged them right then and there. Because if you keep saying that to them, they're going to eventually believe it, that it was my fault. Mm-hmm. Like when there's a divorce and the one parent goes and the child's like, oh, it's because of me. And it has nothing to do with them whatsoever. It has to do with the relationship and other relationships usually that have been allowed to come in and to sever what God has put together.
I remember reading somewhere, and sorry, somebody should fact check this, but I remember reading that a little toddler, when they're like learning about their face, so like, you know, you point to your eye to teach them, here's my eye, or here's your nose. They're not considering you. They're thinking them. Mm-hmm. So when they're learning their parts and their thoughts. It's all egocentric. They're all learning about what I have. Who am I? Mm-hmm. And so in those moments when they're asking that question, and when they're young and you're maybe acting about, maybe you're a parent and you're responding to life. It has nothing to do with your child. But their ability to process that mm-hmm. separate from you
yes.
is very limited.
It is. It is. Because they're not really wired to have to do that.
No, they're not yet. No. It's not for yeah. them. Yeah.
No. And it's not something that their intellect has to mm-hmm. be able to. Now, some children, I don't know, some children are just born with certain
You're right.
things, and maybe they could, maybe some could,
sure,
but
yes.
it doesn't mean that they all could do that. Did you have?
I was just thinking of my oldest. She went through some period of years of rejection because my two middle ones, the youngest and the middle one, were always in trouble. Always. They were always doing something they shouldn't be doing. So it drew my attention to them more than her because she was really great in everything. She never gave us any trouble. She never needed a spanking. She was just
a there.
Great
yeah.
child.
Uh-huh.
But she felt like she was less important because we spent so much time on the other two.
Okay.
So she had to overcome those feelings that maybe I'm the lesser of the children mm-hmm. when she wasn't.
Right. And sometimes children will start acting out.
Yes.
Who have never done anything
wrong.
And they'll start acting out
right,
because they
the
want
attention.
To get the attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, well, they get attention because yeah. of what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to a break here. Are we ready for a break? We have 5 minutes? No. We can go to a break. Let's just go to a break. We'll be right back. We're going to listen to some great promos. And God bless you all for listening. WCNO 89.9.
If you look for me with all your heart, you will find me when you pray.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Okay.
There
Hello.
We are.
Sorry about that.
Oh, welcome.
We're busy here chit-chatting. So God is good. So you're listening to God's Got It.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here with Alexa and Toddy. And we've been talking about rejection today. And we're back to talk a little more about it. And talk about what you were sharing, that one scripture about the mind.
Yes. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he."
Mm.
And that's why I think the enemy tries to come at such a young age,
yes.
is because he wants to develop the patterns of thought in our minds to believe
mm-hmm.
that we are rejected or whatever the line is. It doesn't usually, for me, it's not usually so, you know, maybe it's I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can never be what they want me to be.
Right.
I'm not as good as they think I am.
Mm-hmm.
If people really knew me, they wouldn't love me.
That goes along with that scripture mm-hmm. of final thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable mm-hmm. and right.
Mm-hmm.
If we fix our thoughts on the right thing.
That's right.
Right.
But that's how he comes. He starts a narrative in our
right.
head.
Mm-hmm.
That's, oh, oh, I guess if I speak up when my mom, when I need something, my mom will be upset with me or whatever it is, how he, when really that may not have been the case at all. Maybe your mom had something else going on, had nothing to do with you, or maybe it was exactly what happened, but that still doesn't define you. And
no,
that's what those years are, they're formative.
Yes, they are. Amen to that.
What other scripture did you have, Toddy? You had a couple more.
What?
You had a couple more scriptures over there.
That one was Philippians 4:8. And the whole scripture says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think on those things. Sometimes when you're in the midst of somebody rejecting you, you can't think about those things because you think about everything else. Those sort of just,
out the window.
Later.
Yeah. It's very difficult to do that.
Yes.
And finding our worth in God's eyes is should be our top priority. If you've gone through a lot of rejection, pull up every scripture you can find.
Yes.
Of saying, how does God see me?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and some pastor says, sit down and get quiet before the Lord and ask the Lord, what do you think of me?
Right.
How do you see me? How do you perceive of who I am?
Right.
And wow, you may have to sit there for a while because, you know, we've talked about listening, right?
Sometimes it takes a second, especially if you're upset.
It might take a little time. Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes if you're upset, you need to go. Yeah. For me, at least, sometimes I need to change the scenery. Mm-hmm. Where I need to get out of my everyday or something like that, where I can just take a deep breath.
Right.
Yeah.
And listen to God.
And it's in the deep breath that I hear him.
Right.
You know,
don't put him on a time schedule.
Exactly.
True. Lord, I have 15 minutes. You want to talk to me? Okay. Otherwise, let's make another time.
In other words, let me check my schedule here.
See if I have time for you today.
Yes, well, we should always make time for the Lord regardless. And, you know, mothers are busy.
Yes.
Mothers are busy. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're not trying to put any condemnation on
you. No, but if you let him know you want to interact with him, even as a mom,
he will be
there while you're doing your laundry. He knows the season you're in.
And you know what? You can pray and you can listen at the same time doing laundry, folding clothes.
You listen
changing
to podcasts.
A baby. Yeah, listen to the podcast.
You can listen to Jesus, too.
So Romans 8:38. Well, I'll start with 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you may feel separated because of the rejection and stuff that you've taken in, and you have doubts but get it in your spirit. That is not going to separate you from God. Don't allow the enemy to come in and try to define who you are.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ says, that's not who you are.
Right.
Amen. Right. If you're looking for something that goes, who am I? There's something called In Him Realities. If you Google In Him Realities, it'll give you a bunch of scriptures with a bunch of things that God calls you. His beloved, you know, his child, those sorts of things. And start to look at yourself in the mirror. Pick five of them and speak them over yourself every day. That's what you know. I know we're talking about children, but it's the same. That's how I handle with my children. One of my children was a little extra spicy when he was young. And I used to say, I want you to say this with me. I am sweet. And he would say, I am sweet. But he is sweet. But I just, it's the things we can do on purpose. That's for me in parenting my children. I do what I can on purpose, knowing that I won't do it perfectly, but I do my best to do what I am doing on purpose, and that is to let them know that they're created in his image.
Right.
You know, they're loved.
And back to the thing, we're a child of the King.
That's right. That's right.
We're a child of the King.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We need to get that. Even if you look in the mirror and say, I am a child of the King, and then repeat it over and over and over. Mm-hmm.
Because we don't hear it often enough.
That's right.
We have to remind ourselves. Mm-hmm. He is our Father. Jesus is all in all. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our Redeemer. He's everything. But we are still children of the King.
Of the King. Amen. Yes.
And we need to act like we're children of the King, not poor orphans
that are rejected.
Yeah. Right.
Because ultimately, that's what the, you know, we were adopted, chosen. My husband was adopted. Uh-huh. My kids aren't, but my son, my brother was also adopted. And there's something about that kind of love because he was chosen.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I had my kids. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was coming out. But with that, in those cases, they were aware of what they were getting and they chose it.
Right.
And that's how our Father sees us. He says, I see you. Mm-hmm. I see all the things about you.
Yes.
And I choose you.
He knew us before the foundations of the earth. Mm-hmm. He knew what we were going to do. He knew what we were going to become. He knew how valuable we were going to be. And that's why we're fought so terribly hard.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Thank you, Jesus. In 1 John 3:1, it says, see how the Father has loved us. Mm. His love is so great that we are called God's children. We are His children. And that's what He calls us to. I mean, His love is so great and so vast. And I've been guilty of the same thing, getting in the molly grubs, we called them, down, getting, feeling defeated.
We all have.
Why have I even been born?
Yes.
Yeah. What is there here for me? What's, you know, we've all been there. Yes. We've all been there. And just to know that God loves you more. And you say, well, I don't ever have to go through anything like that because I don't think that way. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That is a great thing. If you have never even had those thoughts, that's great. Then ask God, help me be an encouragement to someone else who is walking through these areas in their life. And let me tell you, you can walk into a church, you can walk into the grocery store, and there's going to be somebody there who needs something, who needs an encouragement, who needs to hear from God that day. And then it's not just about your little world. And not that your world is little, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like this is my space right here, and there's so much going on that how can I do or share anything with someone else? But I'll tell you what, I think I shared this one other time. With my special needs child, it's a world that you are just in a bubble. And it's like, how do I get out of this? How do I keep, you know? And the Lord says to me one night, Pray. There's a lot of mothers walking right through what you're walking through.
Amen.
So pray for them. So if you're going through that molly grub stage and just say, Lord, help me to pray. Help me to be able to help someone else. Even if you feel like you can't, all you have to do is say, can I pray with you? And you will start to see the burden that you have on your heart start to lift. Because God has so much more for you instead of just your little space right here. Okay, well, I got to protect my little space because people don't think I'm good enough and people don't know. There's somebody else could be sitting right next to you.
Right.
Yeah. Feeling the very same thing, feeling worthless, feeling unloved, feeling like you just need to remind them that God loves you so much. Do you know that God loves you? Mm-hmm. Do you know that He cares about you? Do you know that He wants to heal you and all your hurts and all your pain and everything that you're going through? And Father God, right now, we just come to you, Lord. Yes. There is someone right now that needs a special touch from you.
Yes,
Father, they have felt so much rejection. They have felt so much pain. They know, Father God, that you are there. But help them to know that you are really right there with them. And we thank you, Father, that they are loved, that you love them so much more than anything else that you died for them so they could know and experience your love, so that they could be forgiven, so that they could walk with you. And we thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory and honor for what you're doing in each and every heart and life. And we thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you're listening to us right now and you're in one of those places where you just feel so totally rejected and brokenhearted, pick up the phone and call WCNO. Someone is there to hear you.
Amen.
Or email us and let us know how we can pray for you. And we'll pray for you this whole week. Our ladies group will pray for you on Monday nights.
Yes.
Let us know what we can do.
Yes, and that's WCNO at WCNO.com. Attention, God's got it. And you can also call 772-221-1100. And we'll be happy to pray for you, talk with you.
Yes.
Come along beside you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 God is so good.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Father. It was one of the things, you know, I was thinking while you were just praying, is sometimes we can be so rejected, like you were talking about, that we try to, or have been rejected, we try to preempt being rejected and then ultimately choose to be alone. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So I know I'm going to be hurt, so I'd rather just not. Mm-hmm. I think there was a there's a funny quote that says, "I used to love people, but humans kind of ruined that for me."
I used to love people, but humans ruined that for me. Right? Yeah, wow.
Because there is a natural human love that can turn from love to hate in a matter of seconds, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a love that everlasting love of the Father that is very different, and it's on that we can walk into a room knowing we're going to be okay, and knowing that we're of value.
Yeah.
I think I grew up more where I felt like I didn't want to be vulnerable. I wanted to just be good. But unfortunately, when I look in the mirror, I saw something different. But what God did for me was he taught me through my own failures. A lot of it happened because I fell on my uncle calls it a chin ride. I took good chin rides. Ooh. But the good news about chin rides is when you look up, you're looking at the Father and you're aware of who he is and aware of who you are. And you know what? That's not a place where he runs away. In fact, he says he's near to the brokenhearted, right?
Yes.
He comforts those. So if you're in a place where you feel like, man, I don't even know where to go from here.
Right.
Look up to him and he's faithful. Yeah. And just that crack of a window of, Lord, I need your help.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. He'll be there
He'll be there. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forget you.
Mm-hmm.
What a promise, right? Do not be afraid and do not lose hope. I think that's where some people are like, well, there's no use.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to lose your hope.
I'm hearing others thinking right now, well, listen to them. They know those scriptures and they can go right to them. And what about me and all that I've been through? How long is it going to take me to learn all these things? How long am I going to have to struggle with this rejection before somebody comes along and helps me? And it's called renewing your mind.
Yes.
On a daily basis, on an hourly basis, if you have to.
Right.
I know I had so much anger and resentment and bitterness in me, and it took me forever. And I used to say to Bob, how long do I have to keep doing this? And he said, you just keep right on. Just keep right on in the Word, renewing that mind, putting good thoughts in your head.
Yes.
Because it might not happen to you all at once. It might not happen in a minute or an hour. You just
may
have
not be
to
be instant.
And
right.
To this day, I'm still renewing my mind daily, trying to.
Yes. Because the enemy would like nothing more for us to stay right in the, you know?
Yeah.
Stay in that little
I remember,
place there.
This is kind of a random story, but I was working out one day by myself, like I always do. And I'm working out, having fun, whatever. And all of a sudden I hear this thought, and it was clear as day and not something I ever think. And it was, no, something I ever think. And it was like, and I was grown.
No one likes
no
you.
No one likes you.
Wow.
And I'm grown. And I have a husband and some children, so there's some evidence there that somebody at least likes me a little bit.
A little bit.
They're still there, right?
But I, you know, I did the fast, like, combating the thought. But in all honesty, it literally felt like it knocked the wind out of me. Mm-hmm. And I sat down for a second. Mm-hmm. And it took me a minute to stand back up and keep going. Mm-hmm. Just because it was so loud and clear.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I just tell that story just simply because, and I'm old, you know, if you will, I'm of age to know that there are probably people out there that don't like me, and there are probably some that do, but that's mm-hmm. a very silly statement. But what a meanie, only bad
right?
word came to my mind, but what a meanie
right,
to
right.
come and say such a lie.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's, you know, in a moment. And I just thought that is what the enemy does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does that for so many people. The only thing is they've yet to recognize that that's mm-hmm. not them.
Yes.
And it's definitely not the Father.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
And so the only way to know him is to start a relationship.
Yes.
And like, you know, dating relationships are pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go for coffee.
Yeah.
You start to ask, what do you like?
Yeah.
What do you like to do for fun? What do you like to do? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you like to eat?
Right.
And the relationship with Jesus and knowing what he says about you is the same.
It's the same.
You yeah. go make dates with mm-hmm. him. God, what do you like?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it's not a book of rules or what you should do. It's in a relationship that you're beginning. And that just comes from time with him.
Yes. Yes. So true.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. There's a scripture I was just read. In Ephesians 4, it's 19 and, I was going to say 19 and 30. Nope, 29 and 30. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you have sealed for this holy day of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a scripture for a parent.
Right.
Don't let any junk come out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
except for edification just means encouragement.
Right, right.
So help mm-hmm. me to be encouraging. And the opposite, it goes on to talk about how it grieves the Holy Spirit, the opposite. So if you were mistreated or mm-hmm. heard lies, that the Holy Spirit was actually grieving with your heart.
Yes.
He wasn't looking at you and agreeing with the accusation of who you,
no.
he was grieving.
Yeah.
Because that's not what was meant for you.
Not he knows our grief.
He does.
Yes,
he knows
our grief.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And he intercedes for that grief.
Yes, he does.
Yes. Yes.
He
That's
says he.
Good.
Yeah. He
That's
sits
good.
There so much that he's groaning and can't even mm-hmm. articulate. He's sitting on the throne,
right.
groaning for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus,
Amen.
For loving us that much.
Amen. Thank you,
Thank
Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's see. Thank you, Father.
I think Luke 6. Did we read Luke 6?
I don't think so.
Go for it. Luke 6, verse 27 and 28. Love your enemies. Now, that's a hard one right there.
Yeah.
But why?
I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
I'd just as soon ignore them if you don't mind.
Exactly. So love them. So love them. So why? Right? Do good to those who hate you. Ouch.
Yeah.
Bless those who curse you. Oh, my word, right?
Are you sure this is the Bible?
Right, you're right. And pray for those who hurt you.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Lord, have mercy, right?
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do.
Tough thing to do.
It's a, yes, that's like, you got to be kidding me kind of a thing right there, right?
Takes as long as it takes to get to that
it takes,
point.
Yes.
I remember at one point there was a moment when it was, there was a preacher that used to say, I have a pass up marvelous opportunities to have strife or whatever.
Right.
When there was a marvelous opportunity to feel rejected. I remember this person in my life. And then, you know what the enemy does? Just like he did with Jesus. Sometimes he comes with scripture and tries to twist him.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then I could find myself saying, well,
what about this?
I can't believe they did that. You know, and God's response in my heart, it was just like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to carry that accusation, because ultimately, who's the accuser? It's the enemy. He's the accuser of brethren. He stands there and tells Jesus why you shouldn't be allowed, and he says, "My blood's enough." So, in the moments of being rejected, the refusal of allowing that to be the stamp on that person's life, because like you said, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what. So one thing I would be really thankful for my mom, and I try to do with my children. I remember one time I was bullied in school, like pulled my hair and everything. And my mom, I came home and told her what was going on. And her response was, "Oh, can you imagine what's going on with that little girl at home?
Aww.
To have to act like that.
Yeah.
She must have to be going through a lot that, you know, is under the surface." Mm-hmm. And thank God for that perspective.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we can have that, it's a little hard as an adult sometimes.
Your enemies right
that's
there.
Right. That's right.
Loving your enemies.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
oh, my goodness. I wonder what's going on.
Well, I think we have a song. I don't know. Okay, we'll be back.
Look at the birds. Look at the birds. I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Can all your worries at a single moment to your life? Look at the birds. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. For wildflowers, he will certainly care for you. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers, he will certainly care for you. Can all your worries at a single moment to your life? So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Yeah, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Can all your worries at a single moment
Okay. That's a great song. Look at the birds.
Amen.
So I guess we had a call. We were having some technical difficulties here. We were just carrying on, and the manager was running back and forth, and hallelujah. So Todd the plumber called. So Mr. Todd, call us back.
My son, when he was little, he said,
we were in the middle of chaos, but we didn't even know it.
My son said that. I think plumbers fix plumation. That's what
plumation?
He said.
Plumation? That's cute. But the song came from Matthew 6. It says, do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And I love this. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
Oh, he values you.
Woo! Mm-hmm. He values you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because you're a king's kid.
That's
because
right.
We're a king's kid. That's for sure. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left. We're so glad that you joined us for God's Got It right here. WCNO 89.9. Thank you, Jesus.
And if you're walking around with a place where you're longing to believe something different about you, mm-hmm. and like we were talking about, or just starting that relationship with the Father, you know, and you're getting to know what he would or wouldn't say, one cool thing you could do and write down in your journal is, what did I need to hear? Or what lie was said to me mm-hmm. that you would want to combat, or that what truth would you want to speak into my life? Right. And leave room.
Is that
for
Mr.
Him.
Todd?
Mr. Todd.
Are you here?
Yes.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are y'all doing?
Well, we're just great. How about you?
Is it just the part about the kid or the son, daughter of the king.
Amen.
Yes.
It's, I don't know, for me, if I'd have known that 30 years ago, which I don't know if I was supposed to or not, but when I got it, it's amazing.
Yes. Amen.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Uh-huh.
Can he hear us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got machinery going by me.
Oh, you've got machines. Okay.
So tell us how it changed you, how it affected you, knowing you were a king's kid.
Yes. And just to spread that, I always say, you know, God loves you. God loves you. But I should end it with, because you're the king, you're his kid. Hello?
Yes.
Hey, yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah, but for some reason, I never put all three together. You know, me, the kingdom, and being a kid, and then... Yeah, I'm getting a lot of feedback from something.
Yes.
Long story short, I just thought it was wonderful.
Well, thank
you. And I want to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Todd, for calling in. That
means
very
so much
encouraging.
Chris.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so
tell me, when you found out that you were a king's kid, how did it affect or change your life?
Well, the radio station knows about my story,
mm-hmm.
about the accident.
Yes.
And when I really realized what happened, and that it was impossible for me to survive without any injuries, what do you do? How do you respond to that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The whole reality of, wow, I could be maimed and lamed, right?
To put that angel right there in my pocket, wherever he was, I don't know where he was. And ever since, I have a little puppy, a Shih Tzu, and when she walks into the room, into my bedroom, she walks and looks over to the corner, looks up and down, and then comes over to see me.
Aww.
There's something in the corner. She sees I don't.
It's an angel. It's an angel.
It has to be. She knows it's there.
So when you were a king's kid, you were surrounded and loved and protected.
Amazingly, and there's other things that I go through in my mind about what happened when I was 17, what happened when I was 12, what happened when I was 32. All these things. Okay, I have to say this. Human beings are not lucky. They're blessed.
Amen. That's right. That's so true. Yes.
Yes, because, you know, a squirrel running across the street will get by a car. That's a lucky squirrel.
Oh.
And I had to put all that together, and it took that accident. And every day it seems to go farther and farther where, like, listen, I'm right here.
Yes.
You know, you get bad news. And then you get there, oh, I'm sorry. It's the wrong patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
It's like crazy cool. It's like really, really cool.
Yes.
Thank you so much,
Todd.
Yeah, just like Jeremiah, I think it says, I know plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Yes.
And all that's so true. There might be some things that look hard right now. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, that was purposeful.
Amen.
Job. I've been listening to y'all and Job. And it wasn't nothing Job did. It was what God was doing through him.
Mm. And doing through him, right?
Yes, doing through him.
Doing through him. Amen. Well, we're going to close out now, Todd.
Okay. Goodbye.
Well,
God bless you.
Bless you.
I listen. I listen all day long.
Thank the Lord.
And then I replay it back in my mind all night.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Keep being a king's kid.
God bless you.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, praise God. He went through a lot. He was thrown from a car going 75 miles an hour down the road.
Mm.
Went flying all the way across the traffic, from what I understand, and landed on the side of the road. And, you know, God's faithful. Hallelujah.
God's got it.
God's got it. God had him, right?
That's right.
He has a big angel watching over him. So thank you for listening today. And just know God's got it. He definitely, definitely has it. And we thank you for listening to WCNO, to God's Got It. And
we'll see you next time.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
At 11 o'clock. And we're going to talk about how rejection can work for you.
Yes.
Next week.
Yes.
That's
amen.
Very good.
Amen.
All right. God bless.
God bless you. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you, Toddy. Toddy's going to be joining us.
Woohoo!
If you look for me with all your heart, you will find me. You will find me.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to contact us, please send us an email at WCNO@WCNO.com. Attention, God's got it. We would love to hear from you.
We pray that you're encouraged and inspired. And no matter what you're facing, remember that God's got it. Woo! Join us next Thursday at 11 o'clock.
Got it.
Yeah, we hope to see you there.
They got it.
I will be found by you. I will be found by you. You're facing, I don't know where you stand, but don't you dare give up now. Jesus has got your back. When the battle starts to scream out loud and fear tries to take its place, lift your voice and speak God's truth. Let his word break every chain.